We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on The Fan, holding it down until 6 p.m. when Sweeney Murdy comes through to take over. We've had a lot of talk and discussion about baseball, whether or not we're going to see the season forward. Obviously, the NFL, it's their time to shine. It's time to see whether or not they can get through their training camp process. But the NBA, they've done a good job so far. Players coming in the bubble. No one has tested positive since the middle of July. And I have the utmost confidence that we will see a completion of the NBA season. And before we went to break, we spoke about Coach Thibodeau, officially hired as the new head coach of the New York Knicks. So I wanted to bring on someone who had almost a 12-13 year career in the NBA. He's now a co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, highly successful with Darius Miles, a former three-point shooting champ. He was a member of the Knicks organization from 2005 to 2009. It's my main man, Quentin Richardson. Q Rich, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing, Jay? I appreciate you having your boy on.
Nah, no doubt, Q. It's a pleasure to chat it up with you. I know you spent a lot of time in Florida. How are you and the folks doing?
Man, we good, man. You know, I reside here in Orlando. We just outside Disney in the bubble. But ever since everything kind of got stopped, man, we still been sticking to the quarantine. And we never, even when it kind of got raised up here a little bit, we still stayed under the first protocol. So we've been trying to stay as safe as possible.
Well, Q Rich, I mean, as a person, as a basketball player, we always knew you could kind of adapt to the situations that were in front of you, whether it's defense or shooting the ball, the hell out of the ball with the threes. Not surprising that you could adapt. I got plenty of questions for you as it relates to Coach Thibodeau. What are your initial thoughts on the NBA and its bubble? It looks like a success so far.
From the beginning, man, I had full confidence that, you know, Adam Silver and the NBPA and the whole, you know, both organizations would do a great job. Now, I knew there would be no way possible that, you know, they would send our players there with anything, you know, not being done to the top of all capabilities.
We see that. Adam Silver at this point in time, he looks like the best commissioner in the NBA, or not the NBA, in professional sports here in the United States right now. It looks like things will continue and go on without a hitch. When you think about the bubble and just how players have bought into it and how it will continue, what is the biggest challenge for the players that are there in Orlando?
I think now at this point that they've cleared protocols, man, I think it's just, you know, staying focused on what they have to do. I mean, obviously they have to continue to follow protocols, but we as athletes, I know I was one of the people that once I got into my routine and I had my regimen down, it was all good. You know, it's something that you get used to. And then from the standpoint of them being away from family and friends, from what I understand, the further and longer this thing goes and the teams that stay there the longer, you know, things kind of ease up and they get to have, like, I guess you could say, like, waves of a family to come and go and get to be there. So for me, I think it's going to be a good situation, man. I think we've seen a great quality of basketball. It was better than I thought it would be from the beginning. And I'm excited about it, man. We get to see basketball, we get to see the playoffs, and we get to see a champion crown this year.
Q Rich is on the line with us, former New York Knick. Q, I got to ask you, when you think about the teams that are in the bubble, obviously from the New York City area, the Nets are there basically just to, you know, get through a few more games and then call their year and season a wrap. Who do you see coming out on top? Because it looks like this bubble, this season, is actually going to complete itself.
Man, I think, you know, I'm still one. I said in the beginning of the season, you know, when we were at Turner, I said all the time, I see the Clippers and the Lakers meeting in that Western Conference Championship. And that championship, to me, determines the entire championship for the whole finals. But I think for me, man, I think right now, looking at the last game, I got to go with the Clippers, man. You know, the Lakers eked it out, albeit – that, you know, it could be looked at two ways, but I look at it this way. You know, LeBron, while they eked it out and people make a big deal of how, you know, they barely beat the Clippers without Montrez and Lou, I feel like that's very true. But we also have to look at, you know, LeBron didn't particularly play great either, and they still got a chance to win that game. But I still think, you know, all things being said and with the depth of both teams and looking at the grit and grind, I would say the Clippers are going to be the eventual champions, but I'm just glad that this is why you got to play the games and we got to watch it play out and see what happens.
All right, we're chatting up with Quentin Richardson. Q Rich, man, you started off with the Clippers. I mean, that even sounds odd to say. Clippers, NBA champs. That's kind of hard for me to tie together. What do you see between Kawhi Leonard and a Paul George and their ancillary pieces that makes you think they're going to go over the edge?
I mean, when you just look at what you just said, those are two superstar, you know, all first team, all NBA caliber players. You know, Kawhi has obviously been a Finals MVP a few times and led a team. And I mean, Paul George, you know, his talent speaks for itself. He hasn't had his chance to really get to the highest stage and do it. But I think now, granted that chance, we're going to get a chance to see something special from him. But I mean, outside of those guys, man, when you look at the just the supporting cast, they have a Lou Williams and Montrez, who you could flip a coin, and either one of them could be Sixth Man of the Year, and we know what they bring. And then I just love the toughness of their team, man, with the Pat Beverly and addition of Noah. I just love the makeup of that team. And me, personally, like you said, I started out a Clipper, so I have a personal attachment and a hope for them to achieve that greatness, because for us to see them even in this scenario, it's a wow. It's a wow factor too. You got to understand that we came in practicing at Southwest Junior College in South Central LA. Like, do you understand, man, what I'm telling you? Like, we was in the hood with it. So, you know, that was before, you know, the new owner came in and took over from Donald Sterling and all those things and made everything as great as it is now. And, you know, we'll see how far they take it. But, I mean, I'm just happy for all of the people that work in that organization, that all of the fans, it's always been cheering. And now they have a real team, a real product with a real chance to win. And they, you know, everybody involved are all hands on deck trying to make that happen, because it wasn't like that previously.
Oh, Q Rich, it's kind of crazy for me to hear you say that the Clippers used to practice in a JUCO gym, but I can't say I'm surprised at anything having to do with Donald Sterling. I'm not surprised at that one.
Those are real facts, JR. I can remember days. Mike Orlua Candy had the Aston Martin Vanquish. He had to navigate that thing through 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds at a junior college, running up on the car like, whoa, who is that? Knowing that, you know, the Clippers practice here and all of that different stuff. But, I mean, those are the things that, you know, I mean, for me, we came fresh out of college, so we were kind of oblivious to what was really going on. And then when I left there and went to Phoenix and then went to New York, I was like, this is amazing. Like, we were really, and like, we were in the basement of the NBA, like, you know what I'm saying, for real.
No, no doubt about it. We're chatting up with Q Rich. Q, you just said, yes, you were a member of the Knicks. Let's spend some time talking about a team that is not in the bubble. That's the New York Knicks. We know they just hired Coach Thibodeau. This week, it's official. Nate Robinson, I spoke to Nate earlier this week. He said that, you know, Coach Thibs is someone who is always prepared and he's always ready to go. That was Nate's experience in Chicago. What do you think adding Thibodeau to the Knicks is going to do to the team and organization?
Man, I definitely agree. I think everything that I've seen from him when he was in Chicago, and he had a real chance to make his mark. I mean, he instilled and he set forth a culture that was one that was, you were gonna work hard, you were gonna play hard, and you were gonna try and do mostly the right things. And if you look at that team, they didn't have a lot of guys get into, you know, a lot of crazy stuff off the court or anything like that. And generally, when you looked at a Thibodeau led team, they all worked and they played hard. That was the fabric of them.
Yeah, well, Coach Thibodeau, he also has that reputation, whether it's earned for the wrong reasons or if it's just being a demanding player. Coach Thibodeau has a reputation. You hear it. Oh, well, he runs this guy into the ground. You're originally from Chicago. We saw what Thibodeau did in that first year with the Chicago Bulls, and Rose is an MVP, and he becomes Coach of the Year. What do you think about people who say he just runs people into the ground?
Personally, I can't speak for what's gone on in practice or anything, how he's practiced guys or anything. But for me and the guys that were played in my era and things like that, we wanted to play 48 minutes a game. We didn't come from the era of you know, load managing and sitting out games and not want. We got upset if we came out of the game. So for me, Thibodeau sounded like he was my type of coach, that if I was, you know, one of his guys, that he gonna play me 40 minutes like Lou Alding would lead the league in minutes. I always envied that, having a coach that said, hey, like, that's what I loved when we were in Phoenix. When we were in Phoenix, Mike D'Antoni had his, we had 8-9 guys, and that was what we were going with. And it was no disrespect, but I mean, obviously, when you're inside that 8 guys that are playing, you love it. You don't want to be one of the guys not in there. But, I mean, if you're one of those guys that's getting those minutes and getting that opportunity, we loved it. We wanted to play the whole game if we could. We didn't care about tired and all of that stuff. We were trying to hoop.
I hear that. Well, Q, I got to ask you, 5 years with the New York Knicks that you spent as a member of the organization, what was and what is the overall culture? Obviously, you have a lot to deal with, whether it be from the media, whether it have to deal with the expectations of the fans who are extremely vocal in the arena. What is that experience for a young player like an R.J. Barrett, like a Kevin Knox, as they kind of make their way in the league?
It can be jarring for not only a young player, but any player. I mean, I was there. I saw young players come and go, veteran players come and go, And to a man, I think it's a case-by-case thing. But, I mean, New York can be difficult for people to deal with. If you don't have – if you're not thick-skinned, if you're sensitive and you care a lot about what people say about you or what people think, that's going to be a difficult place for you to play. And I've seen it. I mean, that's why I kind of – when I hear all of these different stories and different things about, oh, it's Dolan, and it's like, you know, I'm never saying Dolan is perfect, because whatever information out there that has people feeling like that is out there. I'm not about to speak on that, but what I can speak on is that my time with the Knicks, and I played for, I don't know, we could do the math, but 5 or 6 different organizations, they were, as far as top flight, running your organization first class, they were right up there. Everything was done first class. You didn't get second best at anything when you were in New York. You had your own team plane, not a charter plane. Like, he didn't spare any expenses for anything. We stayed in the best hotels, all of these different things. And so it's hard for me to sit here and listen to people say, get rid of Dolan and they'll win. It's like, why? The Rangers have won. He's the owner there. Like, he hasn't messed that up. Like, why is it so much on him that he's ruined the Knicks? And they've had spikes here and there where they've had a good team and different things that's happened. But, I feel like they blame top players in free agency not coming there on Dolan. Like, what else can he do besides write the biggest check he could give and tell, you know, try and hire a Phil Jackson, which people can say whether that was the right or wrong mistake. But at the time, it seemed like a genius move, and he was going to make all this happen and get all of these players. That didn't happen, so it don't look right. But it's like, I get the gripes with the Oakley, with the different scenarios with Spike Lee, and those things should never, ever have happened. But I feel like some stuff just gets dumped in his lap, and I feel like it might be whoever. If he ever sells it, whoever the next owner, it might be dumped in their lap too, some of the stuff that really is beyond his control. I mean, he can't make someone come there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're chatting up with Q Rich. Now, Q, I will agree with you that not everything is his fault. I will say that. But I do think, as you mentioned, we've had instances throughout the organization that don't look too good in certain hires.
100%. I agree with you. 100%. Will not deny that.
Okay, so let's see what happens now that Thibodeau is in as head coach. You know, I would hope or expect, like a lot of New York Knicks fans, that maybe Dolan can just kind of let them roll and rock, and at least the Knicks can at least, you know, maybe get lucky with a draft pick here or there. Get lucky with some of their rookies or the development of a Barrett. And I think Coach Thibodeau might be that one guy that you don't have to worry about. Is he angling for another job? Is he angling for additional power? He's just there to coach.
I agree. I mean, like you said, it should be some, you know, some good coordination and some good communication from the front office to the coaching staff and throughout, because this is all be on one accord right now. All of the people that have been hired here are all new hires. They should all be on the same side of the fence and speaking the same languages. So I'm excited, man. I feel like the NBA is better when you know, the New York Knicks are doing good things. That's you know, my favorite period is the 90s, and you know what the Knicks did during that era, and they were a threat to my Bulls. So I'm a Knicks fan. I'm once a Knick, always a Knick. I played 4 or 5 years there, and I love playing in New York. I had an outstanding time and an outstanding experience, even though we didn't get to win as much, just to play in the Garden and absorb and, you know, feel that energy from New York, the whole city, and the way they love their sports and their basketball. It was awesome, man. My cousin played for the Giants then for a couple of years, and in my first couple of years there, Carlos Emmons was a linebacker right before they won a Super Bowl, and I got to go to some football games. It's a great city. I love New York.
We chatted up with Q Rich and former New York Knick. I got to ask you before I let you go and let you roll, you talk about your favorite era of basketball, what you grew up on, growing up in Chicago and watching them versus the Knicks and the physicality. You played in the NBA in an era where things started to change. You started off, I mean, Michael Jordan was still playing when you came into the league. And then by the time you started to exit, we moved into, you know, we saw Mike D'Antoni. You were in Phoenix bombing away. You took more than 600 three-pointers one season and lit it up. What do you think about how the game has evolved?
I love it, man. I know a lot of people are critical and say it's not. I mean, obviously I love the more physical type, but I mean, for me, man, I love the game. I love what these kids are being able to do, how they're reinventing different moves and coming up with different ways and different styles to play. How everybody are combining everything. You know, you got shooters, dunkers, handlers, all in one, and all of those different things. So me, man, I'm never not going to be a fan of basketball in whichever form it is. I might, you know, I'm no different than anybody else to sit around and watch the games, whether it's at home, barbershop, or wherever. I'm gonna have my gripes or quarrels about things, but I love it. I love it. And if you didn't know it, these last 4 months have really showed it to you. I miss the hell out of basketball and sports in general. But, I mean, for me, basketball is my one. But, I mean, obviously, just in general, you never really know how much you feel about something until it's taken away. And I think we just experienced that.
Well, I'm glad that basketball is in a bubble. It looks like the season is going to complete. Doesn't look like any large issues up until now. Maybe guys stepping outside to get chicken wings or hanging out from time to time. But, Q, I appreciate you taking the time. It's awesome that you're on the media side now, contributor to Turner, obviously down in Florida as well. You have the Knuckleheads podcast with yourself and Darius Miles. You guys bring in some amazing guests. Where can folks follow you and everything that you're up to now?
Man, on Instagram and Twitter, I'm just easy. It's Q Rich, Q-R-I-C-H. And then, you know, for the Knuckleheads podcast, man, anywhere you get your podcasts and subscribe and download, we there. And then we got the video portion on YouTube. So we out there at the Players Tribune handle on YouTube. You can find all the videos and everything. Check it out.
Look at Q Rich. I mean, former New York Knick and even a Clipper. Used to practice in a JUCO gym. He's over here killing it in media now.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, JR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.